C-O-L-G-A-T-E. Colgate presents Bill Stern
with a Colgate Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll look nice. Your face will feel as cool as ice. With Colgate Shaves, you'll be a fan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern bringing you another Colgate Sports Newsreel. Our guest tonight is the lovely blonde Hollywood movie star, Madeline Carroll. But first, Reel One, Portrait of a Football Friendship. Once there were two men. They became friends. And because of that friendship, there's a curious sports story to tell tonight. A sports story that began back in the Rose Bowl football game of 1939. You see, one of the football teams in that Rose Bowl football game was from Duke University in North Carolina. And on the Duke football team that year was a youngster named Sonny Bragg. When the Duke football team first arrived out in California for the Rose Bowl game, all the boys, including Sonny Bragg, naturally met a lot of new friends, for everyone was trying to make the visiting team feel at home. One of the new friends that Sonny Bragg met was a chap named McHugh, Jimmy McHugh. Soon, Sonny Bragg and Jimmy McHugh became good friends, so much so that one was never seen without the other. As long as the Duke football team stayed out in California, Sonny Bragg and Jimmy McHugh went every place together. Well, when the game was over and it finally came time for the Duke football team to leave California and return to North Carolina, Jimmy McHugh and Sonny Bragg promised to keep up their friendship by writing to each other. That was all back in 1939, and for several years they did write to each other. But suddenly the letters stopped. For you see, with the coming of the war, Sonny Bragg joined the Air Force and was sent to North Africa. For quite a while, Sonny Bragg was too busy in North Africa to write to his old friend Jimmy McHugh. For Sonny Bragg was the pilot of an American bomber. But one day, not too long ago, Jimmy McHugh did receive a letter from Sonny Bragg. It was quite a letter, and it began, "Dear Jimmy, no doubt you wondered why I suddenly stopped writing. Well, I'm now in North Africa flying an American bomber, and we're pretty busy. These American bombers are great ships, though, Jimmy. Let me tell you something that happened to me the other day. We just finished our regular bombing assignment. We were heading back for our base when I noticed a German Messerschmitt coming right at us. I yelled to my gunner,
'Attention, tail gunner. German Messerschmitt coming at us due east. Tail gunner to pilot. Messerschmitt in sight. Have him covered. Pilot to tail gunner. Good. Open fire at will.' 'He's coming right at us, sir. Keep firing. Try to make him clear away. He must be crazy. He's dead. The guy's dead. His plane's coming right into us. Prepare for a crash. Prepare for a crash. Prepare for a crash.'"
The letter continued. "Well, Jimmy, I thought we were done for when those two planes collided up in midair that day. You see, that German pilot was dead. His ship was flying itself when we crashed. He ripped away most of one wing. He knocked out one of our motors. But somehow I managed to keep our plane up in the air, and we limped back to our base, coming in on little more than a wing and a prayer. Guess I'm lucky to be alive. Write me when you can find time. Best regards, Sonny Bragg." For quite a while, Jimmy McHugh sat staring at that letter he just received from his friend. Man, what an idea for a war song, and Jimmy McHugh was a songwriter. 2 days later, Jimmy McHugh had written "Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer." 3 weeks later, it was the nation's number one war song. Tonight, it's sweeping the country. And so because of a Rose Bowl football game 4 years ago, a great friendship began between a Duke University football player named Sonny Bragg and a California songwriter named Jimmy McHugh. And out of that football friendship, a great war song's been written. A song all America is singing tonight.
Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer.
Portrait of a Football Friendship. Reel two. Colgate's camera close-up of Madeline Carroll. Here is one of the most beautiful stars of the movies and radio. Lovely, blonde Madeline Carroll. Here she is in person, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Madeline Carroll.
Good evening, Bill. But you know, I'd like it much better if you'd introduce me as a special representative of the United Seamen Service.
Mm-hmm. Meaning what, Madeline?
Meaning, Bill, that my job today is to try and make Americans more merchant marine conscious. I have a very real and sincere love and admiration for the merchant seaman and the magnificent work he is doing. And while he is at sea, Well, I'm very proud to be his champion on land.
That's swell. Tell me this, Madeline, just what do you do?
Oh, every kind of thing, Bill. From writing letters encouraging and consoling mothers and sweethearts of merchant seamen to talking on the radio about them. Well, like all other American boys, these youngsters are sports hungry, even when they are taken prisoner by the Germans. May I read you a letter I received from an American merchant seaman, now a prisoner of war in a German concentration camp?
Please do.
He writes, "We American merchant seamen, now prisoners of war due to enemy action, are concentrated in this German prison camp. The only sporting information we get is that furnished by the British prisoners here and has no interest to us Americans. We would appreciate very much a weekly newsletter of the American sporting world. We would also greatly appreciate the opportunity of playing baseball and football, as the field is available, but we have no equipment. Thanking you for your consideration, we are the American Seamen, Prisoners of War." The letter is signed Vernon L. Frank and has been passed by both the German and American censors. Imagine that, Bill. Asking for sports equipment instead of food. So now it seems to me that it's up to us to get some equipment there and quickly.
I agree. That's an intensely interesting letter, Madeline. I want to thank you very much for reading it. It's not what we'd expect from a movie star, but you always did do the unexpected. Thanks so much. Good luck and good night, Madeline Carroll.
Good night, Bill.
Let's pause right here. We'll return to the Bill Stern Sports Newsreel in a moment.
To find out more about Old Time Radio, Old Time Video, and the pleasures of listening to audiobooks, visit the Audiobook Club website, www.audiobookclub.com, where you can get 4 audiobooks for just 1 penny.
MediaBay.com.
And now let's rejoin the Bill Stern Sports Newsreel with special guest Madeline Carroll.
Reel 3. Profile of a prize fighter. This is the story of a prize fighter, or should I say, this is the story of Mike Carr. Michael Carr was his full name, but nobody ever called him Michael. You see, he was born in a rough, tough neighborhood, and Mike was the toughest guy on the block. From the time little Mike was 12 years old, he decided he was going to be a prize fighter. When he was 16, Mike Carr became a professional boxer. In his first year, the record books tell us that Mike Carr won 8 fights and he lost 3. In his second year, he won 9 fights and he only lost 2. In his third year, Mike Carr won 12 fights and he lost only 1. Finally, Mike Carr was signed to fight for the welterweight championship of the world. And on the night of that fight, 12,000 people turned out to see Mike fight, but they didn't see him fight. As Mike Carr never showed up for that fight. Nobody could understand it. And Mike gave the silliest excuse anyone had ever heard of. Said he'd stop fighting because he wanted to be a songwriter. Rough, tough Mike Carr, the guy with a bashed-in nose writing songs? Why, what did he know about music? And so Mike Carr became the butt of all jokes. Time and again, they'd ask him, "What kind of songs are you going to write, Mike?" And the battered old prize fighter'd get a dreamy look in his eyes and reply, "I think I'll write some songs about the West, the Indians, the cowboys, the golden sunsets, about Texas, about the prairies." You can imagine how they laughed at Mike when he told them that. But one day, Mike Carr published his first song. It was called Old Faithful. Oh, it wasn't any smash hit. It was a lovely song of the Western Cowboys, and it went,
"Old Faithful, we rode the range together. Old Faithful, in every kind of weather. When your roundup days are over, there'll be pastures white with clover. For you, faithful pal of mine."
Well, after that, they didn't laugh quite so much at Mike Carr. Sure, he was a former prize fighter with a bashed-in nose, but at least he could write music. A little while later, Mike's second song came out. Like the first, it was another song of the Western Cowboys. This one was called Riding Down the Sunset Trail, and its melody was really lovely.
"I'm a-riding down the sunset trail, 'cause it's getting near the time for roundup. I'm a-dreamin' as I go of a gal I used to know, riding down the sunset trail."
Well, nobody laughed at Mike Carr after that one. They forgot that he was a prize fighter. They forgot everything except that he was turning out one Western Cowboy song after another.
But Mike Carr's most beautiful song of the West came a year later. It was a song that swept the nation. It was one of the greatest Western cowboy songs ever to be written. It'll never, never be forgotten, for it went.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray. South of the border, down Mexico way.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all there is to the story. Unless you'd be interested in knowing that Mike Carr, the former prize fighter who's written the most beautiful Western cowboy songs in the world, is an Englishman who has never been in the United States and who has never seen either the West nor its cowboy. Profile of a prize fighter. Reel 4. Colgate Candid Camera catches the story behind the story. Ann Arbor, Michigan. The United States government announced today that Tommy Harmon, former Michigan All-American, had been found alive.
Wait a minute, Bill Stern. This is Madeline Carroll. Here's a real story behind the story. The Red Cross listened to our broadcast tonight, and they heard us read the letter from the American who was a prisoner in a German concentration camp, asking for sports equipment. Well, Bill, they just this minute phoned me and said they'll get that sports equipment to him. I'm so happy, and thank you, Bill.
Thank you very, very much, Madeline Carroll. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. So until I see you next week at the same time over the same stations, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. And now this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night.
Bill Stern, the Colgate-Shapley man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate-Shapley man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports heroes, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Saturday. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.